take out a your study sheet. I understood. I guess I've been running out of bulletins, running out of study sheets, and I think I have plenty tonight. So you should be able to follow along. And if you have your Bible, these are some familiar verses, or at least at the beginning part is a familiar verse. But if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, you can see it in your Bible and mark it if you want appropriately. I'm going to try to finish this out. I'm in no way finished with the whole idea of the polity, the organization, the working of the church that I started several months ago. This is just running out of time to develop it any deeper, but I did want to take us what I ended up calling a timely truths for the church. Timely in that in my retirement, you are searching for your next pastor, and there's things that if you don't put these thoughts in your mind now, when will you? I mean, it's not something that comes up on a regular basis. Pastors, don't do it typically in the midst of a ministry, but I think these are the timely matters. So timely truths for the church about the church. And in the recent weeks, shared with you how the congregation interacts with the pastor, and hopefully, from the scriptures that we've walked through, you get a sense that there's actually a lot of information that we have, and biblical information and instruction as to the way that it's supposed to be. However, my observation is many times our church history, our church background, maybe what we've experienced before, all of that seems to override what the scriptures say. And it has been my passion that we go back to the word and see what does it say, right? And we always go back, and sometimes I add that adverb, what does it really say? we go back to that, and then we rebuild, we reset, and we do the things that are in obedience to the word. And so in this fashion, 1 Timothy chapter 5, there's a section here after talking about widows. So all of this, if you flip back, it's a page in my Bible, to 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes, and verse 15, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says to Timothy, and he's basically telling, this is his second to last letter that Paul writes. What's the last letter? Second Timothy. All right, so there it is. So here we have, he's writing to him, and he says these words in verse 15, which is, I think, the theme verse. It's kind of in the middle of the book, but it says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtst to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So he's writing to him about the church. We've used the word polity, which is the organization and the workings of the church. He uses a word that we translated, how you should behave yourself. All right, so you see how that's what it's talking. It's not. You might use that with your children. How thou oughtst to behave thyself in the church, but he's really talking about how the church is the function. That's why in the beginning parts of chapter 3, you have the bishop, then the deacons. You have other things that deal with the church. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 5, he talks about in the widows. Actually, there's a section here. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Rebuke not the elder. That's in light of the context, that's the older person, right? So it's not the office of elder, but rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. That's the idea. The younger as men as brethren. the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. So that's how we ought to behave in the church. Now, there's some expansion of the widows, how to honor them. And that word honor then carries over to verse 17, where he uses it's the same word, but the context tells me it's something different. It says the elders, this is referring to the pastor, elder, bishop, the office, the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. So it's in that context of honor. Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. All right? And then the interesting, because my mind goes here, verse 21, if you just carry through and read the rest, he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things. What things? How to behave yourself, that you observe these things without preferring one before another. Do nothing by partiality. Right? So, you know, and then he's going to give some more instruction, but he says, you know, do this. This is how we are to treat one another. This is how we interact, how we relate. And it's like the general rule. There's not exceptions, and we're not making a difference there. But that verses 17 and 18 have been I list them on your on the study sheet. But what I want to do is we've addressed some of that in a previous Wednesday nights. Is I put it this way: thinking through honor. Double honor, right? So, because that's what it says. So, honor and double honor, and support. So, if you go, you say, why did I add support? Well, go, if you go up close to the top, we had that. I laid out for you four aspects of the congregation's engagement with pastoral leadership. There's support, follow, honor, together. Those are my categories, but I think that summarizes the biblical information and instruction that we have. It's just a way for me to do that, but I told you how all four of those things are intertwined. They all work together at the same time. It's hard to separate them, but it does help me to teach, and it does help you to file it in your mind. So honor, double honor, and support. So at those bullet points, I didn't number them. Just these different points. Honor, that's the first word, the first blank. Honor is intertwined with the category of support. Right? We know that when we think of support, or I maybe should have used a different word, but part of support is monetary support. We know that honor is a part of that because even in the English language, we have this word honorarium. What's an honorarium? Well, it's a compensation, it's some kind of a support for something that's done, but it's honorarium is it links the two. That's an English word and so forth, but I think you get the idea. If I were to say, I meant to look this up and I didn't, but I have this picture in my head of seeing a poster that says this: support our troops. What does that mean? That's not a good question. Where I want to lead your mind is support is more than send money to our troops, right? It's going to include things like honoring them and respecting them, and so it's all of these things are interwoven together, but I want to give you some thoughts. Some of them may seem a little bit random, but they come out of this idea of the congregation relating to pastoral leadership. So honor is intertwined with the category of support. Showing honor is one of the ways you support your pastor. Supporting your pastor is one of the ways you show honor. Okay, you get that, or double honor? That is, so I'm not trying to talk, you know, out of both sides of my mouth, whatever that means, but that's the idea. Second bullet point, honor is more than financial and is more than words. Honor is demonstrated in actions, reactions, and attitude. All right, so, and I'm taking this idea of honor. The word honor that we can see is, word honor means value, price, and from that we get the idea of pay. So there's no doubt in 1 Timothy 5 that when he's talking about the widows and honoring them, he's talking about supporting them by compensation. All right, then, you know, that I probably mentioned it far too many times. What was that? That was an interesting I'm through signal, but that sounded like a computer thing. So that's how sharp my mind is. I just, you know, these files are being shut down as we speak. Where was I? What was I?
Widows.
Okay, so widows, we do that. And so I've said this before, there are some that say, well, double honor then for the elder that's laboring in the word and doctrine, double honor means twice the pay as the widows. And it's like, that's not what it means. All right, but that's, you get the idea. And so it has this idea of money, all right? So money is a part of that. What I'm saying is that's the financial. We think of honor, and we can honor people with our words. That's true, and I think we ought to honor with our words. We're not showing honor when we, you know, say words that are critical and, you know, disrespectful and so forth. But what I wanted to point out is that honor is more than finances and words. It's demonstrated in my actions. Like the things I do can show honor, right? The things I do can show honor. And the my attitudes, you know, my whole demeanor, my spirit about me can reflect honor. And so these are ideas, just concepts that now we have to translate to congregation and pastoral leadership. Third one down, the text, all right, the text above, that because I wrote it out above, the text in 1 Timothy chapter 5 requires some level of thought and assessment, all right? So now remember what it says is the elders that rule well. What is that? So I have to think about that. At some point, that has to be a thought about, an assessment had to be made, especially those. Now, it talks about what the well, I believe, means with that word, that linking word, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So I'm going to have to make, you know, if I use the word judgment, some Christians will say, we're not the judge. Well, yeah, we are. I mean, we make this assessment. We make this judgment. It's not the ministry of the congregation to sit in judgment, but the congregation has to make judgments. All right, that's what they have to do. What I'll share with you is I think it needs to be at some point regularly addressed. You know, where you are, there's this assessment that's not necessarily continual. But at some point, somebody needs to stop and think about it so that we can make sure that we're obeying or following these instructions. Fourth bullet point down, honor and support involve monetary, physical matters and non-monetary matters. So I was talking about finances. But I have a little list here, just my list, trying to think, all right, how would I teach this? Well, I think honor and support require respect, recognition. They do require words. I think we honor by attendance and participation, right? That's honor that we have. I think a part of that is taking on tasks, which we've seen in Acts chapter 6, talked about that in the relationship between the different parts of the body and the congregation, taking on tasks which free up the pastor for a ministry of laboring in the word and doctrine, which gives honor and importance to the word. Right? See how it's all kind of interwoven together, but honor is an essential element. Then this idea of there are certain elders that are really were instructed to doubly honor, which I believe is the word double literally means just more. It's not a mathematical term. It's talking about much more. And so we have to make those decisions. And then on the bottom of this front side, pastoral compensation, you know, that we're talking about, because it does involve finances, but it's not just finances. Pastoral compensation, both in amount, manner in which it is addressed, and reactions to it, says volumes on how much you value, which is a synonym for honor, how much you value both the pastor and his work. All right, so I think great care in making this assessment and these decisions need to be exercised because I believe honor needs to be involved. You follow what I'm saying? I think that's essential. And I could tell you some stories, and dishonorable ways, or basically negative stories and dishonorable ways that at times that's been handled in my ministry, and it's one of these things that the congregation just needs to recognize that honor and support go together. All right, I'm still on that bottom bullet point. Compensation is a matter of the heart, all right, not just a financial agreement. It is expressed in attitudes, words, and actions. Our own thinking and attitudes toward money and stewardship will impact honor and support. Now, if you go into the inside, I just wrote out two familiar verses to you, but I wanted to show you that what I'm trying to do is saying, you know, graphically, didn't even try to do this, but, you know, finances, compensation, and honor are interwoven, and part of honor is my heart. And so all of this is, you know, when we're dealing with compensation and honor, we're dealing with the idea of my heart. And the Bible, of course, has lots of things to say about that. It's not just a financial transaction when you're talking about pastor and congregation. These other matters are there. And here's the verses that in their context teach something in particular, but Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, right? So what does that mean? What I value, where my treasure is, there will my heart be also, right? So now if I kind of look at that from another angle, I can tell where my heart is by what I treasure. Do you see how they're linked? I heard a preacher say that our heart and our wallet book are linked with a cord. You know, so I pull out my wallet and it tugs on my heart, and I kind of that makes sense from that verse. Luke 6:45 is the other familiar verse. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. All right, so that's the words, but in other words, understand the words reflect what? Now they don't. It's not like a hard and fast, you know, rule. But eventually, what's in my heart is going to be reflected in my words. And so, you know, when we're talking about this relationship with pastor and congregation, the words are important, all right? And compensation is going to be important because honor is important, and all of them are working together. so that if our heart is right, so that we're following the Lord and in obedience to Him, you know, that relationship is going to be just what God wants it to be. And the fruit of that is going to be the accomplishment of the mission that we're given. But that's what where I'm leading. And then another bullet point, kind of separated by some space there, honor and support arise out of right thinking about the pastor and his role or work. Right, so now, you see, there's more thinking that goes on. And let's look at 1 Thessalonians, back up a little bit, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. These I've shared before, we've looked at before, but I want to just park here and just give a few more comments about that. This is in a section of ethical instruction, instruction to believers, to the church at Thessalonica. And, you know, we could start, well, let me just back up one verse. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. You know, one of my categories is together, right? So, you know, there's relationships in all of this. Comfort yourselves together, then edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren. All right, so now when he uses the word beseech, it's kind of in between asking and begging. You know, there's an energy to it. It's not the most intense word, but he's putting some energy into saying. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." Who's that? Pastor, elder, bishop, right? We've developed that from other portions of Scripture. I've sometimes wondered, and actually I've heard people say, "Well, why doesn't God just say it?" Well, you know, he's chosen his perfect words to convey what he wants, and I think that you know, that describes, he's given a description of that office that is in leadership of the church. But we are to know them. I'm going to talk about that again. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So on your sheet there below, I have know them is one of the blanks. Esteem them, I put it as a blank, very highly or highly in love. But don't miss this. We talked about it at a previous Wednesday night. For their what? Yeah, not for them, but for their work, which is the work of the gospel, the work of encouraging and edifying you. I mean, so they have this, it's all for, we do it for the work's sake. And the same would be true of be at peace among yourselves. That would connect more with the idea of being together. But esteem means to lead before my mind, to consider an account. So I'm looking at these two verses, 1 Timothy 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, and both involve thought, right? You know, the one assessment, judgment. This here would be, you know, a little bit different, but I have to consider, I have to account for certain things in if I'm going to know these individuals. All right, next point down, determining pastoral compensation biblically should involve, all right, so now I'm thinking all honor, support, all of this together. So in doing that, should involve knowing the pastor. And I give you some suggestions, and you can probably develop that much more. So the pastor that you call, one of the things that you're going to do part of this before you call him, right? You have to make certain assessments before you call somebody, but you're going to commit yourself to knowing him, his family, his time of life, you know. And let me just tell you, of course, you know, I'm at the ending of ministry or of full-time pastorate. But you know, someone may be younger, may just be at the beginning. But I'm telling you from my experience and I'm going to guess other pastors would say the same thing, the beginning of ministry is different than the end of ministry. All right? There's a difference between that. And, one of the things I'll just say this. When I first started out in the ministry, I can't remember how many, I never kept track of how much time I would spend, developing messages and studying and reading and doing all of this. And you're saying, well, now, Pastor, you don't spend any time. Well, no, that's not it. But I've got 35 years worth of study. So I don't have to do the same things I did back then. And so you have to know that time of life. I did think of this, and it may come up again with that. But here in our church, when I first came, part of my, and I think a good part of the compensation for me was I had money for books. I had money for going to conferences. And I would use that and so forth. I went to fewer and fewer conferences. I haven't been to a conference in a long time. But that's not where my ministry is at now. Most of my library is gone. I've kept out a few that I haven't colored in yet, but that's this is my time of life. And if you have a pastor with young children, that's different than Sue and I with grown children, right? Time of life. These are the things that you want to know. His needs, circumstances, his work, and by that I mean his work in the ministry. What the ministry is all about. We have that. Most times I hear this, it's jokingly. I get it, but it has that edge which at least scrapes me a little bit when people say, "Well, you only work on Sundays and Wednesday nights." It's like, and some of you are nodding your heads. Yeah, somebody's going like this. So that's, I like that person. But anyway, the idea is we joke about that, but we have to know, what is it that you do? we have to know what's involved with that. And some of that you might never know or have an opportunity to know, but these are things that you have to. If the word esteem means to lead before your mind, and if you are making judgments like whether he's doing what he's doing well and he's laboring in the word and doctrine, you're going to have to put some thought into the pastor and his ministry. So to do this, you need to be knowledgeable of and continue to be knowledgeable of the financial condition and resources and the present and future needs of the pastor. So let me move on because I'm going to run out of time otherwise. Esteeming and valuing the work of the pastor is a part of that. So compensation is not just a dollar amount or setting up line items in a budget under compensation, but it involves valuing. So there's a reflection is if this is what the pastor does, how much do we value that? All right, so that's... it's not a formula. It's just the kinds of things that we have to lead before our mind. The ability of the church. I think it was last week. It may have been the week before. There are churches that can't support their pastor, right? They're small or they've had hard times or whatever it is, and so that becomes a part of it. I think that's one of the things that is very positive for our church and the future pastor is you have that ability to take care of the pastor. I mean, that's how the Lord has worked. Providentially, he's brought the church to that strength of financial stability. The expectations you have for the lifestyle of the pastor. I don't know why you don't want me to live like Joel Osteen. Since I'm leaving, I'm going to just say this. I don't get people that give him money. You know, why? And he's not the worst one. I'm just not thinking of some of the worser ones. But, you know, if a guy owns 20 jets, I'm making that number up. Okay, maybe only 10. Maybe only one. Plus four houses or whatever it is. Why in the world are we answering his pleas for money? You get the idea. So ability of the church is that, but expectations. But on the other hand, ever heard the phrase, Lord, you keep them humble and we'll keep them poor? You know, that's not that's not the congregational's ministry. The congregational ministry is to keep the pastor poor. And, you know, those are phrases, those are trite ideas, memes, if they would be in our day. But the idea is, you know, what your expectation is of the lifestyle. And I did include, I don't know if I read, the work of the pastor. So like you say, well, we expect our pastor to do this, to do that, to do these things. Well, then part of what goes through your mind is, all right, we need to enable him to do that, right? We need to enable him to function in that in accordance with our expectations. Knowledge of what things cost—that's one of the things that you know. These are things you lead before your mind. Now, most of you will be aware of that, but this comes in more, and maybe the cost is not the right term, but I've heard this from, and I'm not picking on older people because now I'm getting to that point, but I've heard sometimes hear older people say, I never made that much money in my life, when they look at what the pastor makes. I never made that much money in my life. Well, neither did my dad. You know, I think $1.25 an hour. I remember that, you know, and things like. So we have to just keep this in mind, all of these things is how we lead in my mind. But I write this on the bottom. This is sort of a summary or just an encouragement. It is a pretty complex calculation in our time and culture. I mean, it would be different in a different time, a different culture. Even began my ministry in rural Minnesota, and they would tell me stories about them bringing their pastor live chickens. Okay, yeah. Please wrap it in cellophane before you bring it to me. You know, and cut it up, make the legs and put all this kind of stuff. But the idea is different times, different. That would be a subculture, but you know, there are places in the world where that's how they take care of their pastor. You know, Carlos Rubio. My guess is they don't have a operating budget at the church in Indiana, Peru. And you know, I'm sure that's it's just a different way. But they still have to. By the way, this is the word of God. They still have to follow the word of God. They need to honor, support their pastor. That's the way it is. So it's a pretty complex calculation in our time and culture, but driven by honor. In other words, if honor is there, it can be done in a way that obeys the word and glorifies the Lord. So I'm confident of that. So if you say, all right, this is what the Bible says, I need to know him, I need to esteem him, there needs to be this idea of honor. And if that's there, I have no doubt that you will take care of the next pastor. That's the way that I think that's how it's meant to be in this algorithm or this calculation. Then I guess this is part of it. It got broken up. You will find that when it comes to caring for a pastor, that your efforts to know and to understand his unique situation goes a long way. So I'm just going to tell you that I've told this at different occasions and different. I say it's the congregation's job to honor and take care of the pastor. It's the pastor's job to be content and to work at the ministry. Right? So contentment is part of everything we have, but I think if we if if you say, well, the pastor, we're not able to meet his needs, as long as you understand, I think the pastor's going to be content with that because everything is operating in accordance with God's word. Then I have this point that while the pulpit committee and deacons are charged by the congregation to do this task, right? So the deacons, you know, through our yearly budget, they think through that task. The congregation should be aware of the pulpit committee I mentioned because as they search for a new pastor, these are things that they're going to need to, they will have in their mind as well, which the pulpit committee is made up of deacons and one extra person. So, I mean, there are leaders in the church that have that task for you, but the congregation should be aware of elements and the thinking that goes into what you will be asked to approve as a congregation. So at some point, you're going to be asked to approve of or, you know, give the authority behind the compensation for your next pastor. Understanding is key, not only for the leadership, but for you as a congregation, so that when the choice is made, you can work together, honor, and follow your pastor. See, it all works together. That's the idea. You don't want it to be a, you don't want it to start out with, oh, I think that's too much to pay him. You know, or you don't want to start out with all anything. You want to be together, unified, start out supporting, honoring the pastor. Other scriptures, let me go through this quickly. Let him that is taught the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Communicate means to share in fellowship. I think that's linked to this idea of honor and support. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. Just drop down to verse 16 for the sake of time, that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth us and laboreth. So there's the idea of submission that goes back to Hebrews chapter 13. But then verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. And we could develop that idea of acknowledging that. That would go, we would use a word like recognition, but you need to acknowledge the work of your pastor. I think that's part of honor, is acknowledging what he does. And then on the back, I just have a few minutes, but happy with the title, but a big picture thought, and you know, just to look at a much broader picture, I wrote these out just a challenge as a church, and it comes out of years ago in our church in Minnesota. We ran a ministry called Pro Teens. It's a youth ministry out of North Carolina. And they had one of their operating principles was you get what you honor. All right, now they're talking about youth ministry, but that phrase always kind of sticks, and I think it's applicable. You get what you honor. And so here's both how they would use it or my summary of how they would use it and then how it applies. If we honor those who labor in the word and doctrine, if we esteem very highly that work, we will foster and encourage the next generation of laborers that will do that work. You get what you honor. All right? So you hear in that what you're supposed to do for your pastor. If we honor a musician, performer, athlete, entertainer, activity director, visionary, successful businessman, that's what the next generation will move toward. I guarantee it. And now I don't have time to tell you, you know, the statistics and the general flow of things. But Bible colleges are closing all the time. And even within the Bible colleges that are open, business majors, our trajectory is this way. Ministry majors, trajectory is this way. And so you say, well, what does that show? What's going to happen if the Lord doesn't come right away? What's going to happen in the future? Well, you can kind of put all that together. What's going to happen? What effect that is going to have with the church? If we honor and esteem the showman, entertainer, pastor, guess what kind of pastors you're going to have in the future? Showman, entertainers. All right. So the key is honor what God wants you to honor, and that's what happens. The next point, the way the church and the home honors. And I add the home there, may have, should maybe, because I think it's key with the way the church and the home honors and supports the servants of the Lord, like pastors and missionaries, will be caught by the youth as they choose the direction of their life. Right? So, you know, that there's something to that. That if I'll just use another word picture. If you're having roast pastor for lunch on Sundays, then I'm going to just about guarantee that your boys are not going to want to be pastors. You follow that idea? That's what I'm saying. You get what you honor. And but I can tell you I've heard missionaries, as they seek support and they give their testimony of their salvation and how the Lord led them to missions, they'll say things like, "My parents always had missionaries in our home. And they always did this, they did this, they did this." So in other words, they had that honor, and it had an impact upon the next generation. Next one down, why don't we have more men giving themselves to the work of the pastor? Could it be that it is viewed of little honor and receiving little support? Could it be that the youth view laboring in the word and doctrine to have little reward, lots of criticism, and only a hard life ahead? Struggling to make ends meet. So I'm not saying turn your next pastor into Joel Osteen, but the idea is, I think the way we do these things, how you relate, is going to impact the youth of the church. And we're not going to change the Christian culture in general, but we can be responsible for our own homes and our own church. Could it be that by the lack of honor and support, we are discouraging young people from hearing and following God's call to the work? So you say, "Well, God didn't call me." Well, maybe He did, and you didn't listen, right? These are possibilities that we see. There's an interesting dynamic at work. Some believe the servants of the Lord should be poor and protected from materialism. No one wants a pastor that is in it for money. That way the scripture does talk about it. It's called a hireling. Right? So there are things in there. It's about being a shepherd. Could it be that keeping the pastor poor is the idea and protected from materialism is not our biblical responsibility? Others believe that it's the ministry is a lucrative and cushy job. If that is true, why aren't more people pursuing it? Yeah, so you have this mix of things, but I think it's my belief that if we will follow the word, make it our passion to obey it and apply it, and bring about that right relationship between the pastor and the congregation, that the church will grow, the word will spread, and we're going to see more and more young people go into the ministry because of our obedience to what the word has to say. All right, let's have a word of prayer, then we'll call it a night. Father, thank you for your word that we have. We're not left to ourselves. Just give us that passion to follow it, to learn it again for the first time, to apply it. And Lord, I do pray that as things unfold in front of Berean Baptist Church, that the relationship would be just what you want it to be, and would be just blessed by you in ways that we can't even imagine at this time. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, good night, everybody. We'll see you on Sunday.